Hello and welcome to the DC Talk podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shataj Ananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Ajay Garg, who is a founder and MD at Aquarius Capital. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Garg.
Thank you. Thank you, Shataj. And it's always good to be part of your podcast. I've been following them for a while now and you do bring up interesting topics. So nice to be on the panel with you.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Garg, for your kind words. And well, the first question I want to put it across to you is that I'm sure a lot of listeners would want to know. So what do you make of the market volatility, you know, which is largely influenced by the global mood? Do you think the party on D Street will continue if yields continue to rise or will there be a reset?
So I think I'm in the camp where I think that, you know, the market has still some way to go before it sort of, you know, gets ripe for a correction.
Right.
The current liquidity driven sentiments continue to be positive. It's very soon being replaced with the way the earnings and all those parameters are being played out. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is this concern that, you know, as yield rises, what will happen, and you will see those corrections happening in whenever there's an increase in the yield. Right. And but as you've seen, any dip has always seen more participation and the market rebounding strongly thereafter.
True.
With a very quick recovery and rebound. And obviously the current yields across various markets, you know, on the treasuries and other situations, you know, are obviously in a negative zone. So there's obviously a question to be asked as to, yes, you know, when will that normalize? So once that normalizes, would equities continue to still be attractive? I think if the earnings performance, which I think most stocks are talking about for FY 2022-23, makes equity still a good asset class to own. So a marginal increase in the yield and marginal increase on that basis should not spoil the party is my expectation for at least for the next 9-10 months.
Mm. All right. Well, the party continues on D Street, hopefully, if earnings continue to rise from here. The next question is, on the broader market space, you know, after 2 years of underperformance, small and mid caps are back in the limelight, especially in the year 2020. And the momentum continues in the year 2021 as well. Now, in fact, when markets witnessed steep fall in Feb, mid and small caps have shown resilience. What is powering sentiment in the broader markets?
So, if I talk to my team, they tell me that, you know, mid caps are still not reached the dollar adjusted price of this mid cap index as of 2008. So, so we still are a little bit away in terms of what we saw in 2008 and thereafter.
Right.
But, you know, what happens, Shitesh, is that, you know, when the economy is in for a little bit of an, tightness, which we did see in 18-19, we did see that the mid caps and small caps failed to deliver.
Right.
Because obviously in that environment, they get squeezed out, they get performance of the companies in the large caps, given the fact that there's a general tightness in the economy, has an impact. Mm-hmm. But when there's a broader recovery, for all those same reasons, small caps and mid caps do much better.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a, you know, significant amount of ability to capitalize on that situation. And that's what we are seeing today, that, you know, when the broader economy recovery is happening and we are seeing a significant economic growth data point that is pointing out, you will see smalls and mid caps doing much better because I think large caps will, to some extent, has not seen so much of correction too. But the beaten down of mid caps and small caps are being unjustified vis-a-vis the way the economy has recovered. So from that perspective, we see which they will be doing much better and do see that as the economy keeps going to be in a broader recovery and going to be in a strong format next year, we are in the camp where we think small caps and mid caps will do far better.
Right. Well, small and mid caps likely to do far better. That's the key message coming from Mr. Garg. Now, the following question is, what is the checklist which one should keep handy while picking stocks in the small and mid cap space?
So our team, although we do a lot of work in small caps and mid cap space.
True.
But we still believe that, you know, we like to go for market leaders in their spaces. We like to go for companies which have good governance practices. And we like to go for companies where, you know, there is an inherent reason for why their margins are what they are. And I think if we see those two, three data points, we definitely would like to look at the stocks in that zone, you know, and obviously back those stories across our platform, whether banking or on the stock market side and or on the PMS side. So that is how we look at each of our practices approach to the stocks to go for and stocks not to go for.
Right. And in fact, you know, over the weekend, Warren Buffett annual letter to shareholders came out. Your big takeaway from the letter, which you think investors in any equity market should take note of?
So it was more a letter meant for his shareholders.
That's right.
But I guess it, given the stature of the gentleman, you know, it's a letter which I think the whole market globally looks for.
Right.
Obviously, you like the letter and the simplicity for the fact that he makes it a virtue by saying, you know, I love to invest in simple businesses. And rather than, you, in the letter, he also quotes about it, you know, I don't want to try, you know, doing hard things and figure out whether I'll be alive or not. So to that extent, I think, you know, it's he basically, you know, makes it a glamour in terms of how why it should be. Everything in investing should be simple. So
true.
What you understand, you invest in. And what you don't understand, you don't invest in. So I think that's a big message for all of us. What you sort of, you know, did see an exception, which also I think a lot of commentators have already talked about it, that there's no mention about COVID in his letter, except for, you know, a small phrase mentioned about a particular business, you know, how they have recovered post-COVID. But he's sort of, you know, not even talking about new normal or how he sees COVID playing out over the next 12, 24 months. Mm-hmm. It basically signifies that, you know, he's seen this as an incident which is passing. Mm-hmm. That is what he's sort of, you know, intending for all of us to look at it, that, you know, this was obviously an incident which a year back obviously had a big impact on all of us, but it's more of an incident which I think we have obviously, as markets have seen, have done that. And thirdly, I thought, you know, I wish that someone like him, at his level of influence and all, could also talk about ESG, which I think is something which, you know, I feel that investors like him also have to start taking more directional call, because that's what the call is, in terms of how to keep the globe and the corporate behavior far more sustainable,
right,
and going forward. But continues to not talk about it. So obviously there's a lot of trends happening globally on ESG and in India too. I wish people like him also talk more about it.
Right. And finally, which are the key risks which bulls have to battle in the short term?
So I think the key risk continues to be the way margins will, you know, get compressed. Because I think everyone acknowledges we're in a commodity super cycle, and we have seen the benefit of you know, some good earnings growth over the last two quarters, but you know, that was on the back of mostly stocks and inventories which have been kept with the companies. But as we get into this next 3-4 quarters and see the margin compression playing out in quite a few stocks, so that is one concern, which I think, you know, one cannot wish away, because there has been a significant price jump across all commodities, which we have seen. Secondly, we have, I think, you know, and it goes to the first point which you raised about, you know, that, you know, how long the yield and the inflation data point will keep worrying us. As a market analyst or as a financial analyst, you know, we don't really talk much about geopolitical scenarios, but I guess those has their own ability to impact anything. But from a market perspective, this is a little data point I would look for.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Garg, and listeners, for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, Mr. Garg.
Thanks. Thanks, Shitesh. Thanks for having me. And thanks to sort of, you know, and keep doing this, and all the best to your listeners.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garg, for your kind words.